If you would turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Chewing on the after the afternoon service, Brother Tom expounded on the rich young ruler. Been really thinking about this call of follow me and what does this mean. And let's pick up the reading here at verse 18 tonight. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all of Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. I marvel and hope to continuously marvel for the rest of my life of how applicable Scripture is. Even in these two small words of follow me, with the onslaught of social media and YouTube, the core of their funding, but also what they feed off of is followers. And how many followers they get. And how many times you smash the like button. And yet, even 2,000 years ago, Jesus is asking us to follow him. And it begs us the question, who are we following? Who am I following? And what does it take to follow? And so I've been wrestling with these past few days as the Spirit really is pricking my heart, and maybe this message is more for me than for you. But am I forsaking all? It's not an accident that Jesus came to the shores of Galilee that afternoon. It was probably either early in the morning or later in the afternoon because the fishermen were mending their nets. After a good catch, you'll always need to make some adjustments to those nets. And I'm not surprised that Jesus came to a fisherman first. You see, because a fisherman will look on a, once he's in a boat, he'll look at the ocean or he'll look at the water, and you know what he'll say? There's a fish there. We're not catching anything on this shore. Let's go over there. I got the perfect lure for the next fish. And Jesus is called to follow him, to make these fishermen fishers of men. And I'm thinking to myself, how many times do I look at someone who's not converted? Or I'm at the grocery store or at the gas station and I'm thinking, what spiritual lure am I going to use to catch this man? Not for me that I caught him. But as Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, follow me even as I follow Christ. That I would be transparent. That it wouldn't be my effort of casting or the bait that I choose, but the Lord giving me the energy to cast, giving me the desire to net. Am I doing that? Am I being persistent? Am I being hopeful? Am I being optimistic that what I'm going to toss, the word that I'm going to use in Scripture, that it's going to penetrate? Do I have the faith that it's going to penetrate? Or, they're probably not going to listen. They probably don't believe anyway, believe in the first place. Do I know what it takes to follow me? To exercise that word of following me, of following Christ. Jesus saw two brothers. Then he saw two other brothers. And as he went around, he went about all of Galilee, teaching and preaching in their synagogues. And it says that they dropped their nets and they forsook all. You know, I don't know if those disciples knew what they were in for. They definitely didn't know who they were dealing with or who this Jesus of Nazareth was. But they did learn a few things about what it means to follow. They learned that they had to leave something. And for them, they left their nets. You see, maybe that's something that God wants to teach us tonight. Is there something that you need to leave? Something that maybe you're holding on to that is preventing you from following? Because there's a lot of excuses a fisherman makes. We didn't catch any fish because the weather wasn't good. The barometric pressure was off. The waves were too big. We didn't have the right tackle. Sometimes our excuses put up barriers preventing us from following him. No doubt the disciples learned that following Christ would result in them spiritually dying to themselves. Taking up their cross and following him. Like Luke, the physician, Jesus found another optimistic profession. A physician. I can fix that person. I have the right medicine. If you just give me some time, I know I can heal. Following Christ means knowing. If we know that Jesus is our shepherd, the sheep, they know his voice. We've learned that since Sunday school. But do I know him that I can discern his voice from the following of all of the media that's out there? Can I discern the voice of the Holy Spirit from the carnal voices of this world? And maybe it's not even media. It could be anything outside of what God is calling us to, taking us away from him. Do I know his voice? Do I know what it sounds like? And ultimately, following him results in emulation. And that's not much different than each one of us if we follow something online, is it? I'll tell you who you are by your friends. Because if we take in all that constantly, it ends up being a part of us. It ends up being who we are. And I'll tell you, that's what God intended. Do you know why? It's based in 1 Peter 1:16. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And Peter gets that from Leviticus. Leviticus 19:2. God calls the children of Israel to be holy. Why? Because he is holy. So God is asking us to take in, and that's who we become. And here's why it's beautiful. Or maybe here's why I find it beautiful. And I hope you do too. Because let's talk about the holiness part. If God is asking us to be holy because he is holy, he's asking us to be like him. Let that sink in for a little bit. God is asking us to follow him. Christ is asking us to follow him. And God is saying, "Be holy because I am holy, so you can be like me." Now, mankind takes being as gods to a different level where they don't need salvation, and they don't need scripture, and they don't need a savior. But when God calls the children of Israel to love mercy and justice, and in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and when we read about the attributes of God, he's asking us to put that on. Are not the fruit of the Spirit a picture of who God is? Our God is asking us to put these on so we are like him, who he is. Is there anyone like him? All the other voices that we're bombarded with are only looking for us to follow them so they can gain monetarily or for selfish reasons. Think about it. YouTube has an algorithm that if you have enough followers, you could take revenue from your YouTube page. The more followers, the more money you make. Influencers, follow me. The more people that they're able to influence, they gain notoriety. Doors are open for them. So they could spread the gospel? Maybe in some cases. But the test is, where is the arrow pointing? Is it pointing to a pocketbook? Is it pointing to me? Or is it pointing up? Is it pointing to him? Our God is looking and asking us to exhibit attributes of himself. Because isn't that who we want to be like? Wouldn't you want to be like Christ? I know I hope I am. But so many times we get in the way. And doubt creeps in. And Satan comes, and maybe even not even Satan. Satan can't be everywhere at once. So he doesn't necessarily have to influence each one of us. But what he has to do is work with our carnality. And my carnal mind, my fallen mind will say, how do I know I'm really following? These are some tests. These are some tests. How do you know your heart is in it? Do you love the thing Christ loves? Do you see the lost through the eyes of a fisherman? Do you see the lost through the eyes of a dying Savior? Do you love Are you dying to self? Do you know him? Do you emulate him? In the account of the rich young ruler, he may have loved his possessions more than he wanted to follow. But many times I see that those accounts are two-sided. There's two sides to most of Christ's parable, a carnal and a spiritual. And in a conversation with a brother we had on Sunday, a spiritual element to that rich young ruler account was that Jesus asking him to sell all that he has. The spiritual perspective would be to empty him of himself. Get rid of everything that you have that you're holding on to, like a cup. A cup is either empty or filled, right? It either has something or it doesn't. And the call is to empty that cup of all of your wants, all of your desires. But the question is that enough? Is the emptying of a cup enough? Because outside of these walls, and we all know individuals that will do many great works. They'll feed the poor. They'll give money. They'll stop when somebody's got a flat tire. Emptying of themselves. They'll help each other. And we see benevolence. And we see mercy. And we see justice. But all of that is just an emptying of self, which is good. But if we're not being filled with the Spirit, isn't that reward just pointing to me? You see, it's not enough for me to just do the works. It's not enough for me to just check the box. But there's an element of faith behind it. There needs to be an element of belief. And that solidifies the following me part. Because I can look like I'm following. I can look like I'm casting. And I can look like I'm reeling in and netting. But if I'm doing it for my own gain or my own benefit, am I better than Judas? Because Judas followed. Judas heard the call. And he followed. But the point that he could not monetarily benefit from being a follower of Christ, it's when the rubber met the road. That this king and his kingdom is not of this world that I can gain monetarily from. And it showed. Is he really committed to his response to Christ's follow me? How's your sensitivity towards repentance? How quick are we to anger? And how fast do we run to gossip? Christ, follow me, says that those should come to him first. That repentance should be quick on our lips. And sin should be as sensitive as a dot on the Richter scale. As a little fish biting a hook where you could barely feel it. That's how sensitive. The words, follow me, should be towards sin. So much so that there was a famous preacher that said, the closer you get to Christ, the more sinful you feel. And that makes so much sense, doesn't it? Because we see individuals who profess Christ and maybe don't really live it to the fullest. And sin isn't that big of a deal. I pray that all of us would get so close to Christ that the smallest of sins, the whitest of lies,
And the slightest of transgression and shortcoming would cut so deep that we would never want to execute any of that towards our brothers and sisters, let alone our Savior. Follow me. It's not about the emptying, but about the only. It's not about emptying only, but also about the filling. And then Christ gave that rich young ruler an interesting response. He said, sell all you have and follow me. And if you could picture the selling. Selling what? Selling what you were just filled with. You were filled with the Spirit. So now go forth and offer it to all. Empty your cup of self, of want, of your desires. Be filled with the Spirit. And now go forth and offer it. There's a world out there that needs to hear this message of hope. This message of optimism, because there's a pleasure, there is a beauty in service to the Lord, in following. The carnal mind will say, I'm not a follower. I don't follow anybody. Who do I follow? I'm a leader. Okay. But are you worth leading? Have you done a more worthy act than die for someone else? Have you shown grace? Have you shown mercy? Have you shown justice? Because if you ask me, I want to lead, I want to follow a leader that has never let me down. That will never let me down. And not only that, that knows me so well that he has my best in mind. He knows exactly what I need at the right time, at the right moment, and at the right dose. That's our fearless leader, Jesus Christ. So tonight, my prayer is that if you haven't decided to follow the Lord, think about it. Don't leave tonight without at least entertaining that idea of who am I following? Because rest assured, you're following someone or something. It's impossible to not follow anything. Man cannot serve two masters. Scripture's clear on that, and that's a biblical truth. So who are you following? Is he a worthy leader? And I would compare him to the one that walked the shores of Galilee. The one who did everything for you. And who is calling you even today through a preacher. And that word, follow me, doesn't need a title. We're all preachers. Everyone. Everyone that raises the banner high, you are a preacher. And you may be the only gospel, we've heard it before, you may be the only gospel someone reads. They may never pick up a Bible, but know that they're reading you. And they're looking and they're saying, who am I following? So tonight, consider your state. Pray that we would all be followers of Christ. Amen.